Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome and good evening, Blog Talk Radio. Good evening to you, YouTube. It's good to have you with us. Good evening to all of our Zoomers that are Zooming with us.
Good evening.
It's a good evening tonight. We've even got our echo working good. Don't know what just happened. Come look at this and tell me what to do, love. I got it. All right, so welcome, everybody. It is May 31st. Can you believe that this year is flying by like it is? I don't know about you, but this year is going faster than any year I have ever experienced. If I can get this guy to stop talking over here. There we go. Welcome. It's good to have all you guys with us. We're all the way up to 166 subscribers on YouTube. And thanks for being there. Yeah, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thanks for being there. Thanks for being a part. Thanks for continually working with us to make these things happen in Jesus' mighty name. Our title tonight is The Word, The Greatest Change Agent. We began to talk about this a little bit last night, and last night we ended up talking about angels. And I like them angels. Aren't you glad that God sent angels to us to minister to us, surround us, protect us, and keep us safe? And, you know, at the beginning, when we first started this, let me see where I'm at. Did I make you the co-host?
I did.
Huh?
I did.
You are. Okay. When we first started in this, God gave us a lot of scripture to speak. And of course, all of those prayers and confessions that we spoke were right out of the word, and therefore they carry great power, great dynamic power, because they're in the word. It's the word, it's the living word. And I want to just pull this up and talk about some of our confessions that we make. And the word of God is in it. The word of God is the greatest change agent there is. It's the greatest change agent there is. And we've just come through this day fast where we were praying for Jerusalem and Israel. And wow, when we began to see things happen, as that began to unfold throughout the month, I could see that the different prayers that you and I have prayed since the beginning were so vital and preparing for this to come to pass. And you and I have great harvest that is stored up in heaven to use on this earth, that's connected to that to that prayer time. Hey, there you go, Brother Roger. 166 TI must be something to do with his military service. Bless you, brother. Good to see you with us. Now, let's take a look at this. There we go. So you're able to see who's on and let people in and out and everything.
Yes.
All right. All right. So, I'm just going to put some of these slides up. And of course, you know, number one, our greatest declaration that you and I have done ever since we've been here is the Pledge of Allegiance. Now you might say, well, Pastor, the Pledge of Allegiance isn't the Word of God. No, but it's sure founded on the Word of God. The Pledge of Allegiance is founded on the Word of God, one nation under God with liberty and justice for all. And so let's just look at these. Let's see. Oh, it's not up there. And of course you can see on this picture, we got the folded flag. We've got the Christian flag. We've got the American flag. Up in the picture of the soldier kneeling, that's Psalm 91. These are all scriptures you and I have lived in, spoken out loud ever since we've been here. Now, let's just take this next screen here. That's our opening prayer. And let's just take this apart for a minute. Isn't it beautiful? I actually made this slide. I think I did a good job. You notice I have all my as's lined up on the left-hand side together. I did that on purpose. Just pray this with me. Father, we pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. Now, when you take this apart and you begin to meditate it, dissect it, whatever the word is you want to use, the first part of this is, Father, how many times did Jesus say, pray to the Father, my Father, our Father, your Father? And we heard Jesus himself pray to the Father. When he stood at Lazarus' tomb, Lazarus' grave, he said, Father, I know you hear my prayers. I know you always hear my prayers. We could hear him praying to the Father. Then he told us to pray to the Father in John chapter 14, 15, 16, and 17. And then we get to the next part of that, and that is we pray this prayer, this declaration. Well, that comes from the book of Job that actually says, you will decree a thing and it will be established. Have you seen that verse lately? I have it underlined. It's right here. It's in chapter number. I can't believe I missed it.
Job 22:28.
I was looking in 26:22. Job 22. There it is. Let's go to verse 21. Look at what this says. This is going to be different than anything we've done, but it's all right. It's just us. We're okay with it, aren't we?
Yeah.
Amen. If you're not okay, lay your hands on your head and say, be okay, and then you'll be okay. Ready? Job 22:21. Look at this. Acquaint yourself with him. Acquaint yourself with him. And be at peace. Thereby, good will come to you. Now, problem with many people is they've never acquainted themselves with God. They've listened to preachers preach who have been acquainted with God. They've read books by people that are acquainted with God. And they like hanging around people that are acquainted with God, but they themselves have never become acquainted with God. And it's of the greatest importance that you acquaint yourself with God. Look what it says. Good will come to you. And then you're such a wonderful wife.
I know. Thank you.
I want you to make sure you have your pen with you at all times. And you should probably make sure you have a pen that works.
Are you kidding me?
You sure my pen needs to work?
I'm sure my pen needs to work. All right. Now look at this. 22. Receive, please, instruction from his mouth and lay up his words in your heart. If you return to the Almighty, you will be built up. You will remove iniquity from your tents. Then you will lay your gold in the dust, the gold of Ophir, among the stones of the brooks. Look at this. The Almighty will be your gold. The Almighty will be your precious silver. For then you will have delight in the Almighty and lift up your face to God. You will make your prayer to him. He will hear you, and you will pay your vows. You will also decree a thing, and it will be established for you. So light will shine on your ways. When they cast you down, you will declare, exaltation comes. And he will save the humble person. He will deliver one who's not innocent. Yes, he will be delivered by the purity of your hands. You can decree a thing and it'll be established. Now think about this. We're in that set of Psalms regularly. The path of the just is as a shining light that grows brighter and brighter to the perfect day. That's actually not Psalms, that's Proverbs, isn't it? And so look at this. I want you to see these verses, because tonight's topic is the word is the greatest change agent there is. It is the greatest change agent there is. Now, this guy that's speaking, let's see, Eliphaz. Now, Eliphaz got rebuked by God, and yet in Eliphaz's statement, this is a good statement. Acquaint yourself with God, return to him, become acquainted with him. Now, watch this. Let's find that verse, the path of the just is as a shining light. All right, just everybody hang on. If you found it, throw it up there somewhere where we can see it. Proverbs 4:18. So hold your finger there.
There you go.
And Job, and let's run over to Proverbs. Might want to have some of these markers with you tonight, because we're going to cruise around again. Proverbs 4:18. Look at what this says. But the path of the just is like the shining light that shines even brighter unto the perfect day. Have you been wondering what to do in your life? You got to get this word going in your life. We're in our opening prayer And we're already so knee-deep in verses that we got to look at this and say, thank you, Lord, that you have established this ministry with the foundation of your word. That we don't gather together and just do some religious things, but that we actually are here on purpose to put the living, breathing word of God into your life so that it will produce life on the inside of you. Now let's go over here for a second and let's go give me just a second. I'm just turning pages a little slow tonight for some reason, but it's all right. Hang on, almost there.
Do you know you're still screen shared?
Yeah. Yep. I should turn my video back on like that, though. There you go. Well, I want everybody to see this. Here we go. Let's go to Proverbs 13:9. The light of the righteous rejoices, but the lamp of the wicked will be put out. What you're talking about is, what's the light? Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, you are the light of the world. Go with me now to Psalm 119. And let's go to 105. Isn't that the right one? Psalm 119, 105. Your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. The word of God. So not only does the word show the way, but it's also a shining light that grows brighter and brighter on the inside of you for other people to see, and on the inside of you to transform you into what he wants you to be. And it's going to come out on the outside of you, and everybody else is going to say, you seem like you got the answers, and be like, I do have the answer. Don't ever hesitate or be bashful to say to somebody, I got the answer. Do you have the answer? I do. Sure hope my wife does. No, we do. See, you might say, Pastor, I don't have the word like you have. So how could I just tell somebody I have the answer? Because it's not about having it all memorized. It's about knowing where to get the answer. Do you know where to get the answer? Well, you might say, well, I don't know exactly what it is, but here's the reality. You and I have studied these verses so many times that even though you might not have the exact reference, the one thing you've learned how to do since you've been here is find out where those verses are. Amen?
Amen.
One of the... I don't remember who the guy was that said it. He was a great doctor or something. He was speaking one time, and he said, it's not about how smart I am as a medical doctor. Because how could a medical doctor learn everything there is about the human body? You're going to study that for the rest of your life and probably end up in one specialty in one area and still never exhaust it. But his statement, and it was a powerful statement that he makes, is it's not about how much you know. It's about your ability to know how to find what you need to know. It's knowing how to use your tools, knowing how to use your resources around you to go find that answer that you need. Well, when it comes to the Word of God in the day we live, we've got apps and we've got websites and we've got our Bible. You got the Bible in 27 languages on your phone. You got this Bible. If you've gotten one of these Thompson Chains Bibles, you got one of the greatest reference points there ever was in your life. And what you got to learn how to do is use it. And then use it. Now let's watch this. Talking about the light in it. Deuteronomy 11:18. Therefore, you shall lay up these words of mine in your heart, in your soul, bind them as a sign on your hand, and they shall be as frontlets between your eyes. Deuteronomy is the prophet Moses, the deliverer Moses, leading the children of Israel into the promised land, and God has given him the word. You ever had God given you anything? God's given him the word and the law. And in that law, he's telling them, meditate in the word day and night. Verse 14. But the word is near you, in your mouth and in your heart, that you may do it. Well, you'll notice that that set of verses is quoted in Romans chapter 10, where the Apostle Paul, by the Holy Spirit, is saying, you believe in your heart, you speak with your mouth, you will be saved. Remember what he said? Don't say, let's go up into heaven to bring Christ down, or go down to hell to bring him up. Where it, the word is near you. Where is it? In your mouth and in your heart, the word of faith that we preach. I've given us all of these verses right now just from this first line of our declaration. We pray this prayer and make this declaration as your children, the heirs of God. Well, then that when you take that verse and say, well, where's that one at, Pastor? You find that set of verses right there in Romans chapter 8. And that's verses 14 through 17. And it says, as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are the sons of God. And then you don't receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you receive the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. For the Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we're children of God. And if children, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus, with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we also may be glorified together with him. What is it that we're talking about? The Word of God is the most powerful agent of change there is in our life. And I'm showing this to you tonight because I want you and I to see that ever since the beginning, since we've been here, we have spoken God's word and made it the number one powerful force of everything that we're doing. Amen. Now, let's keep reading this. As the body of Christ filled with the fullness of God. Now, let's go find that verse of scripture. You ready? Ephesians chapter 1. I would imagine that most of us are coming to the point now where we've got these verses down deep inside of us to the point where we are actually able to speak them and walk them out and live them. Brother Roger, click on right away. And if you don't find the right away button, then just text us and we'll see if we can send it to you again. Amen. Ephesians chapter 1, look at this. 22 and 23. Now, here's where you need your pen so you can circle those pronouns. And he, God, put all things under his feet. That his there is Jesus. Okay? And gave him to be head over all things to the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. Want to say it with me? I am the fullness of God. Somebody might say, wait a minute, Pastor. Can you say that? Well, look at what it says. Which is his body, the fullness of God, which fills all in all. Now, what's the purpose of why I'm saying this? We have just witnessed 100 million people coming together in agreement to pray for the city of Jerusalem, for the Jewish people, and the nation of Israel. I don't think in too many believers' lives around the world was the thought process that 100 million believers would ever come together in agreement for anything. Did I say that in a manner that can be understood? Yeah. But I don't believe for a moment that the 100 million had any doubt in their mind. Now, I hope that makes sense to you. Because you and I have prayed since the very beginning. See if I can get this to work here. You and I have prayed since the very beginning. Father, in the name of Jesus, we hook our faith to the international network of prayer and faith. We receive faith from them. We add faith to that international network of faith. And we say over every prayer warrior, be faithful. May God's will be done on this earth as it is in heaven, wherever you are. We had no idea we were praying for this specific event that was going on in May. And yet our prayers were right in the middle of what God was doing on this earth. Why? Just because we followed the leadership of the Holy Spirit and were connected with the right people and the right places at the right time. You think about every morning on the prayer program, we pull up Brother Dutch Sheets' program. And we put our faith in agreement with him for his ministry and what God's given him to do. And we put our faith in agreement with all of the people that come there. Well, we've been able to see that right there in Dutch Sheets ministry, there is 350-some thousand that are connected to Brother Dutch on a regular basis. I can just pull it up because Brother Dutch is always right on the top here, but for some reason that didn't happen. But why are you saying this, Patrick? Because you and I have continually given ourselves to faith and prayer, not only for the United States of America, but for around the world. Take, for example, this morning, 32,000 people have listened to Brother Dutch Sheets' message for this morning, 44,000 for last week, 86,000 last week. Why are we saying these numbers? Because every day you and I put ourselves in agreement with the people and the work of giving 15 for what reason? So we can join together in agreement the body of Christ. And there's only one way you're going to do this. The Baptists won't let you do it. The Methodists won't let you do it. The Pentecostals aren't going to let you do it. The assemblies aren't going to let you do it. You might say, well, Pastor, my Assembly of God Church will let me do it. Well, I know. I know there's an exception to all of these things that we're saying here. However, I also know that every denomination looks at itself and says, I got to make myself what I'm going to be so that I can be what I'm supposed to be. Well, yeah. How did Mike Bickle say it? You don't get a vote in what my future is going to be.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Right? People come by and say, you shouldn't be doing that. Well, okay. That's fine. It's all right that you think that. But I'm going to say this. It is my place to do what God's given me to do. And if that's not the place where that you believe you should be a part of, then that's fine. Go to wherever that place is, because we're going to do what God's given us to do. Amen?
Amen.
Now watch. So you and I, just by assignment, just by following God every day, have connected ourselves with 32,000 people today. Today's was David's Elite Fighting Force, powerful program. Well, one puts 1,000 to play, and two puts 10,000 to play. What happens when 44,000 of us come together in agreement? Yeah. And then I haven't actually looked at the numbers, really paid attention to them, because I'm not about numbers. But I am about numbers. Now, I don't know if that made any sense to you or not, but it could have made sense, because what it was supposed to do was make sense. Now, what was the name of that thing called? Isaiah 62? Fast? Yeah. Now, I just wanted to come back here and look at it. Yeah. The beginning, the Isaiah 62 fast, 12,000 people viewed that. We were one of those. We were praying and saying, Father, in the mighty name of Jesus, make it happen. All right? And then throughout the month, this is what's the most amazing thing to me, is that that number just grew and grew and grew and grew to the point that it was 100 million people on Sunday that had prayed for Israel around the world. I love it. You go on there and you can see it. There's 2,000 people in agreement. 2,800 people in agreement. There's 9,000 people. What are we doing? We're realizing that God has brought his body together in a way that nobody could stop it. If you weren't a part of the stream, I really wish you would have been a part of the stream. But when you went to that live stream from the IHOP, Kansas City, there was no question whether or not those people in that building were going to go 21 days on a fast and be 24 hours of prayer. There was no question. God had already brought them to it. Now watch this. Let's pull our screech.
Alrighty then.
Here we go. Let's pull this thing back up, our screen share. Now, I'm going to have to get to a specific spot because I can see I'll just stop and preach on anything that looks like the Word of God. So let's look at this. The commanded blessing of unity. When was the first time in the community of faith that we brought this verse of scripture up?
2 years ago.
Probably the first night. Because Sister Leanne and I had been living in that verse quite a while. Mm-hmm. You know, we began to hear about COVID and we were binding it. And we were saying it's not going to have any effect. And, of course, you know, the oil field, we're about the most socially distanced group of people that can be. With a 50-mile-an-hour wind, I can't believe they actually got anybody to ever even shut anything down up here because...
It didn't go very well in the places that they did try to...
Yeah. But anyways, we had been speaking this verse together. This has been a verse I've used ever since I've been in the ministry. Why? Because the greatest blessing of unity is when God commands a blessing on you. How good and pleasant it is for us brethren to dwell together in unity. Think about how many times we've prayed these set of verses over the last 3 years. Every time we said it in faith. Well, we had no idea that we were setting up and being vital, being, I don't know if vital is the right word, but we were entering in ourself, doing our part to call the world together into unity. And every one of us that ever prayed this prayer have a harvest now on the other side in heaven of everybody who was born again, every Jew that got saved this last month. Their names are on our account in heaven. And you might say, well, Pastor, I didn't meet them. It doesn't matter. Paul said, because you partnered with me, the grace that is on me is on you. The harvest I received, you partake of it. And so, I'm not Mike Bickle. I'm a long ways from Mike Bickle. But thank God for Mike. Thank God for the men and women of God who were able to stick with him and help him see how to navigate through all the waters he's navigated through the last 40 years of ministry and be able to stand on that day on May the 7th and say, this is 24 years later and we've had 24-hour-a-day prayer and worship going on for 24 years. Now, I had no idea I was putting my faith in agreement with them way back in the ministry when I first started, but I've been praying for the body of Christ to come together in unity since I got started. If there's one thing in the body of Christ I hate, it's the division that comes between the denominations and the body of believers. How can that even be? Except we think we got all the answers, and you don't. Well, you don't. Your light never gets brighter because you put somebody else's light out.
Right.
Amen.
Amen.
So here's the commanded blessing. Now let's go to the next one. We began to pray this prayer. Hold on, I got to make sure I'm not running over the cat or the dog here. I got to scooch back a little bit. All right, so let's read this one. I beseech you to walk worthy of the calling with which you were called, with all lowliness and gentleness, with long-suffering, bearing with one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Now, think about that verse as we've walked through the last 3 years together. I mean, I don't know if you've checked lately, but somebody look it up real quick. How many days since March 23rd, 2020? Just search that in there. How many days since March 23rd, 2020? And then somebody give me a report on it. The Holy Spirit is speaking in the book of Ephesians here through the Apostle Paul that we've got to keep the unity of the Spirit and the bond of peace. And yet I saw March 23rd, 2020. Our first day when we became a deal. Hallelujah. Now, let's go to the next slide. Look at this. All believers are one and the same in God our Father. Now, I want you to realize that tonight's message is, tonight's teaching is this. The Word is the greatest change agent. What is it I'm showing you in our confessions ever since I put these screens up tonight? Every one of these are the Word of God. And we put our faith in agreement with them and declared them into the heavenlies. And the angels have gone and carried them out. What you got?
1,164
days in a row we have been here speaking the Word of God. We may have missed one or two days, but not too many more than that. Now, we ain't bragging. We're just fulfilling the assignment. Look at what this says. Everybody read this out loud together with me. There is one body and one Spirit, just as we were called in one hope of our calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in us all. But to each one of us, grace was given according to the measure of Christ's gift. Thank you, Father, for your grace and your gift in my life. Now, every time you and I have made this statement, we were calling May 7th to come into being. And we had no idea. So this is what I got to say to us. Let's be more faithful than we've been. Because what's the next big event that God's already got planned? We know one of them. And that is the Kingdom to the Capital with Sean Fout. Going to every one of the capitals and having a worship service and communion on those capital steps. Well, I'm going to tell you right now, I saw that at the beginning of COVID. That's exactly what needed to happen. We needed to go to every capital and take communion on the steps of the capital. And I charged right out to do it, all the way to Bismarck, having the ability to go to every state and do it. I didn't have that ability then. I had the desire. Right? We had the desire to do it. But this is the reality. We sat right here and we were very specific about speaking these words to be done on this earth as it is in heaven and declaring it every day And what did our words do? Like we studied last night, the angels took those words and added them to the international network of prayer and faith that was around the world. And we said over and over, it's going 24 hours a day. I had heard of Mike Bickle. I had heard of IHOP. I had heard about the fact that they were doing that 24 hours a day. I'd heard about that. But I don't know. I just was not at that point where I was to go be involved with that or anything else. And yet, God led us. I think it's so amazing. God led you and I right alongside of that vision. And even though we weren't a part of it or weren't doing anything to make it come to pass, sowing seed to water, and the rest of that, we were right alongside of it. And as soon as we heard about it, we were like, oh, yeah, let's get involved with this, because the path of the just is as a shining light that grows brighter and brighter to the most perfect day. Why are we here every day? Why are we here every day? Let's see if I can get myself out of all this. We're here to establishing your faith. And we're here rebuilding the walls of righteousness. Now, a minute ago, I said, you don't get a vote. Let me clear this up so I don't want anybody offended at me. You ready? When I said you don't get a vote in deciding where we're going or what we're doing, I wasn't saying we don't care what people think. It's saying we know what God has said to us. And that's what we're going to go do. And if that's a good thing and you want to be a part of it, we welcome you to be here and be a part of it. But there's one voice that's going to lead us. And that's not the voice of Pastor Sam. That's the voice of God Almighty. He's the one that is leading this work where he wants it to go. It makes complete, total sense to me what I'm saying right now. I hope it makes that much sense to you. Sister Leanne's going to teach the next hour. If you think about what we've done, we've grabbed the same verses and we just live in them every day. How many verses do you think that we live in?
All right.
Regularly. ¿150? ¿150 verses out of the whole Bible?
It's our regular.
But what you got to realize is that's all it takes. Now you might say, all. There are, hold on just a second here. Isn't that so? There are 31,000 verses in the Bible. You don't have to know all 31,000 of them to be a successful Christian. The reality is you're going to find a group of 10, maybe 20 verses, and you're going to get them established in your life. And then you're going to find another 5 or 10, and you're going to get them established in your life. As you live your Christian life, you continually build another verse. You hear another preacher preach a message, and like, man, I'm getting that verse in my life. And you get that inside your life. But I would imagine the reality of a successful Christian's life, it's probably only going to take him 150, 200 verses. And maybe by the end of his life, you'll have 1,000 verses. But when you think about 1,000 verses out of 31,000 verses, and that you only actually get to that number after 50, 60, 70 years in the kingdom, the reality about the Word of God is you don't have to know the whole Bible to be a successful Christian.
Amen.
Because the word will and is changing you and me every day. We probably need to have the big amen happen from Brother Roger or Sister Rebecca or Brother Dan, somebody. Somebody shout a big amen.
Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
Glory.
Glory.
Glory with a great big kick.
Glory with a great big kick. Roger said, I just found out my Hebrew name is Aaron, Moses' brother. Well, all right, then, Roger. Glory be to God. Now, here we go to Hebrews chapter 4. Let's go here to Hebrews chapter 4. And let's read about the Word of God. Now, I know I'm usually a lot more fired up than I am tonight. But really, on the inside, I'm fired up. I'm telling you right now, I'm so fired up about this 100 million people. To realize that we just prayed for 21 days in a row, 24 hours a day, there's nothing that 100 million can't do now. If we will just continually humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God and let him lift us up, we get to be known as the 100 million people that changed the whole course of the whole world. I think it's so amazing when the actuality of who was actually there on Pentecost Sunday actually showed up, every nation of the world was represented. Wait a minute. That's even the severe nations like China and Iran and Turkey and Tajikistan and these other places where the gospel of Jesus Christ is not welcome at all. Even those people were praying for the nation of Israel. Well, what's that tell you? That tells you that we are the restraining force of the enemy, and he doesn't have any of the power that he's feigning to have out here at all.
Amen. Amen.
Wow. Hebrews 4, let's go to 11 through 16. Let us therefore be diligent to enter that rest, lest anyone fall according to the same example of disobedience. For the word of God is living, it's alive, it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. This word is alive. Now, I got to tell you, I wasn't online somewhere or on Facebook or Instagram or somewhere, when I learned about the International Network of Prayer and Faith. Where were we at when we learned about that? We were just right here. I was sitting in this seat. I was teaching. We were praying. And God said, put your faith. The next words that came out of my mouth is I put my faith with the International Network of Prayer and Faith. And just like that, the Holy Spirit said to me, there are millions of you around the world. And you're all in faith saying, thy will be done on this earth as it is in heaven. And we coined the phrase right here at the Community of Faith, the International Network of Prayer and Faith. Well, I had no idea that there was actually one out there. But you look at Lou Engel and Mike Bickle, those people have an international network. Bill Johnson, they have an international network of prayer and faith that's going 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. The sun does not set on the prayer of faith in their people's ministries. Dr. Barclay's one of them. Literally, there are people praying all around the world every single day. Brother Copeland, Brother Jesse, Brother Jerry, Keith Moore, Dr. Winston. You just realize, wait a minute, we've become a very important part of making these things happen. Mike Bickle said the other night, Monday morning, Tuesday morning, whatever it was. I don't even know what day it is. What day is it? Mike Bickle said he's the founder of the IHOP in Kansas City, International House of Prayer. He said the number of prayer groups that only have 5, 6, 7 people in them around the world that connected was absolutely amazing.
Yeah.
Of how many it was. Why? Why is that so important, Pastor? Because you and I, we don't have 250 people in a prayer group. Most times there's 5 or 6 of us. But what he said is, those are actually the ones that's making the difference around the world. Why? Your name don't have to be seen. You're not out there trying to plug anybody's deal. You don't have to be seen. You don't have to be heard. The angels see us and the angels hear us. And that's the only thing that matters, is that we're seen and heard by the angels of Almighty God. God Almighty's paying attention, and we say it again, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Well, all that because the word of God is living and powerful. It's alive.
Excuse me.
That yawn got me. It's sharper than a two-edged sword. You want to understand where you are in your life? Open up this book and begin to read. We've given ourselves to much reading of the word, much study of the word, much preaching of the word. But I'm going to tell you, we're going to fine tune. We're going to hone in our focus on some very specific verses so that we get every one of you actually living in, walking in, dwelling in, functioning in the word of God and using this Bible, using God's holy word as a tool, as a weapon against the enemy, and using it so effectively, there's nothing that can stop you. It's a discerner of the thoughts and the intents of the heart. Let's go to 14. Seeing then that we have a great high priest who has passed through the heavens, Jesus, the Son of God, let us hold fast our confession. Con is with. That means to speak something out loud. For we have a high priest who sympathizes with our weaknesses, was in all points tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in the time of need. We come boldly to the throne room of grace, and we find grace and we find help in our time of need. The most powerful agent of change is the Word of God. Let's grab one more set of verses on that. All right, two. Okay, maybe three. Let's go to 2 Peter, chapter 1. The Word of God is the most powerful agent of change there is in this earth. Brother Roger, you're doing a good job tonight holding down the fort. Not sure where all your friends are, but we bless every one of them tonight. Father, right now I bless my dear friend who's in the combat zone somewhere right now. In the mighty name of Jesus, I declare Psalm 91, the Moses Psalm, as he entered into the land of Canaan, surround him and protect him and keep him safe in Jesus' name. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1, Simon and 1 through 4. Simon Peter, a bondservant and an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have obtained like precious faith with us by the righteousness of our God and Savior Jesus Christ. You notice that he didn't say by your works of righteousness that you do so everybody can see you and say, wow, he's a righteous person. It's not of works, lest a man should boast. It's not of our self-righteousness. Two, grace and peace be multiplied to you in the knowledge of God. Do you want more grace? Do you want more peace? It's the knowledge of God that's going to get it to you. Verse three, as his divine power has given to us all things that pertain to life, as his divine power has given us all things that pertain to godliness, through the knowledge of him who called us by glory and virtue, by which have been given unto us exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world. Think about this. The statement that tonight's message is that the Word of God is the most powerful agent of change. Now, I want you to look at verse 4. We've been given exceedingly great and precious promises, that through these you might become partakers of the divine nature. I might not mean much to you, but if you've ever wrestled sin and tried to be free from sin, and then to realize that this word, the exceeding great and precious promises, makes it possible for you and I to be partaker of his very divine nature, that ought to make somebody shout hallelujah. That's the greatest agent of change, the greatest form of change, the greatest process of change that can happen. As you and I, who were dead in our trespasses and sin, can be made alive. And not only made alive and forgiven, but literally become partakers of his divine nature. That's huge. See, when you get that revelation, what that causes you to do is to say, I want the Word of God. I value the Word of God. I want the Word of God to change me. And it literally will bring to you the very divine nature of God. See, the church has told us don't talk that way. You can't have the divine nature of God. No, I will never be the Trinity. But I can have his nature. The Word of God says so. Second Corinthians 5:17 says, if any man's in Christ, he's a new creation. Well, is he or isn't he? Old things have passed away, and behold, all things have become new. Well, have they or haven't they? Well, yeah, they have, Pastor. Well, then how do you explain all this that's going on in my life? They're called fiery darts. They're called fiery darts. It's the enemy trying to get you to go back into that place where you once were and cause you to feel like you have failed God and us and your brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus, that you've given unto us everything that pertains to life and godliness through the knowledge of you. Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. You read 9, 10, and 11, and that's Paul talking about Israel being lopped off, cut out, and you and I being grafted in, okay? And because of their rejection of God, we actually get to be blessed by God. I'm not saying thank God Israel rejected Jesus, but I'm saying thank God I get to be grafted in. Now look what Paul says at the beginning of chapter 12. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. So having said everything about Israel rejecting God, being cut off, you and I accepting God, being grafted in, and then God grafting us in is going to make Israel jealous to say, wait, they're getting the blessings. They're getting our blessings from God, and they're going to come back in. Paul said, having said all of that, therefore, I beseech you by the mercies of God, you present your body a living sacrifice, holy, not unholy, not sinful. Present it holy. Why? He cleaned you up. He gave you his righteousness. So present yourself to him holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. Do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of your mind. How are you going to do that? By reading the word, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God in your life and in mine. And then what's the next thing that God tells us to do? Who knows? But I've said, Dr. Summerall was the one that used to say it, that I learned it from, and that is, it doesn't matter to me what you're doing on this earth, Lord. Whatever you're doing, I just want to be in the middle of it.
Amen.
Amen. I don't want to be on the sidelines watching. I've never wanted to watch a parade. I want to be in a parade. I want to be a part of the parade. The parade doesn't need to be about me. I just want to be in the parade, making a joyful situation for everybody that's watching the parade. Wouldn't that be cool to have your own parade in your own town and just have it named after you? Why? Why does he have a parade? Because he just likes parades, and he likes bands and all the big trucks coming out, and he likes a festival, and he's a celebratory guy, and he just has a big festival for us all. Now, I have a pastor friend in Michigan who literally, his church put on the fireworks for the whole community. For 4th of July. How glorious is that? Anyways, making a difference in Jesus' name. The word, powerful agent of change there is. Why? Because he's literally, it says that through the word of God, you and I can actually become partakers of the divine nature. And when we do, we'll escape the lust of the world. That's what it says. You will literally escape the lust of the world because of our faith in Jesus. Say again? Yeah, it brings healing. Think about, you have a dream, you wake up in the morning and say, how's this match the word? And you realize these guys in Job, their whole life was led by dreams. They didn't have a Bible. They didn't have a church. They didn't have the Holy Spirit. They didn't have speaking in tongues. But read Job, the oldest book in the Bible. Then people knew God. Why? Because they realized that God will come and talk to me. Oh, he's not that God. He's actually your Father, the one that breathed life into you and sent you into your mama's womb with a plan that is absolutely out of this world. In Jesus' mighty name. Let's pray. Matter of fact, I'm going to lead us in a prayer. Everybody pray this with me. Father, in the name of Jesus.
Father, in the name of Jesus.
I receive your word.
I receive your word.
In my life.
In my life.
Not only tonight.
Not only tonight.
In this program.
In this program.
But in every part of my life.
But in every part of my life.
Show me how to speak your word.
Show me how to speak your word.
Every day.
Every day.
All day long.
All day long.
And live in the word of God.
And live in the word.
I choose to walk with you.
I choose to walk with you, Lord.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Amen. And amen. And amen. Well, it is time for us to receive communion together. We call this the New Covenant worship because Jesus called it the New Covenant in my blood. And, This isn't bread and juice, our juice and cracker snack at the end of a good teaching. We are literally receiving and partaking of Jesus' broken body and his blood that was shed. We're literally partaking of the Passover feast because God put it all right down into these two elements. And then he said through Jesus, as often as you do this, do this in remembrance of me. Here we go. 1 Corinthians chapter 11. What we're going to do, we do this every time we come together because as the Holy Spirit said to me at the beginning, you never know who's going to be there, who has been wanting to receive communion and is going to need the instruction that you give every time you come together. Remember, communion is not for those who are members. Communion is for anybody who's a part of the body of Christ. You're part of the body, since you're part of the body of Christ, since you've been born again, it doesn't matter. Anytime communion is served, according to God's word, you have access to receive it. Now, man, over and over, limits people, but we don't. So get you some bread and water. If you got grape juice, that's what Jesus used. And we're going to receive communion together. Here we go. I'm going to read the verses. We'll pray the prayer of salvation. We'll bless the elements. And we'll be done. For I received from the Lord that which I also deliver to you. that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took the bread. When he blessed it, he broke it, and he said, "Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, after supper, he also took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. As often as you drink it in remembrance of me." Verse 26, "For as often as you eat the bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death, his redemptive work, until he comes." Verse 28, "Let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup." Why? Because if we would judge ourselves, we would not be judged. 1 John chapter 4, verse 17. "Love has been perfected among us in this, that we might have boldness in the day of judgment." Why? Because as he is, so are we in this world. Thank you, Lord. Perfect love. Cast out fear and the torment that goes with it. Why? Because there is no fear in God's perfect love. Thank you, Lord. I bind the trauma that might be in your life from who knows what part. And I declare in Jesus' mighty name that you are free and free indeed from that trauma. Trauma, I command you, according to the name of Jesus, the word of God, the blood of Jesus, release your grip in people's lives. And I now declare the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will rule your hearts and minds in Jesus' mighty name. Amen.
Amen.
Let's pray the prayer of salvation together. Oh, yeah. I got that on the screen I'm supposed to put up, right? Thank you, Rebecca. Thank you, Roger, for all of your help. Thank you to all of our family and friends that are continually with us. All right, almost there. Huh. There we go. Pray this prayer with me. Got it. Here we go. I thank you, God, my Father, that in the fullness of time, you sent the fullness of Jesus to redeem my life from blood, from destruction.
Thank you, Jesus, for giving yourself for me so that I can be made complete in you
every day. According to John 3:16, I choose to believe you are the only begotten Son of God, and you rose again on the third day. Reach out your hands and say, I receive you, Jesus, into my life. I receive all grace and your mercy, all of your love and righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. Thank you that none of my sins are imputed against me. I am a a new creation in Christ Jesus. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with you every day.
In Jesus'
name
I pray.
Amen and amen. Now, any of you that prayed that prayer for the first time in the depths of your heart, our next instructions on the screen is pause and shout. Hallelujah. 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 Well, you just went from darkness to light. You just went from fear to faith. You just went from your sin to Jesus' righteousness in that one prayer, because you said, I receive all of your grace and your mercy. Look, I'll show it to you. I receive all of your love and your righteousness, filling every part of my life with all the fullness of God. And when you prayed that and you meant that, then God met you right there at that point. And you were transformed and renewed in the spirit of your mind. Now, you might say, well, Pastor, this is wonderful. But how do I live this a successful Christian life? Well, here it is right here. Fill me and baptize me with the Holy Spirit and fire so that I live in power, understand the Word of God, pray in my heavenly language, and live a successful life as a believer every day. And then don't forget the next line. Surround me with godly people who will help me know how to walk with God every day. And that's who we are, these godly people. We've got over 1,000 videos available for you to study. And we want to be a blessing to you. Click like, subscribe, hit the bell. My email address will be right there in the notes of the program. Send me an email. Ask me a question. Give me some answers. Right? Give us a prayer request. Give us your testimony. We want to hear from you because it's a powerful encouragement to us and to other people. In Jesus' mighty name. And then go and develop those. Doesn't matter if you think this question's been asked 1,000 times. Ask it anyways, because the next time we answer it, guess what's going to happen? Somebody else is going to get the revelation, and it's going to transform their life forever. And that's what we're truly all about. Jesus. Are you ready? Excuse me.
God bless you.
It's all that buffalo hide we were scratching today. Here we go. Wow. Angels are with us right now. Here we go. Hold your elements up. Pray this with me. Now, don't just say words, though. Mean this from the very depths of your life so that on the inside of you, this is transforming you. Jesus, as you instructed your disciples, I receive these elements today. This bread representing your broken body and this juice representing your blood poured out for me. I do this in remembrance of you and all you did for me. Pray this out loud. Jesus, you were wounded for my transgression. You were bruised for my iniquity.
The
chastisement for my peace is on you, Lord. By your stripes, I am healed. In my spirit, in my soul, and in my body, in my mind, in my will, and in my emotions. There is nothing missing. There's nothing broken. Go ahead. All trauma is removed from my life now. Every joint supply in my body from your broken body, Jesus, in the body of Christ, in my community, and around the world, wherever you send me for this prayer. I receive the bread, your body broken now. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's receive his body broken. Thank you, Father, for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus, that you paid the price. Hallelujah. And now I bless the fruit of the vine. Pray this with me.
Now I
bless the fruit of the vine in obedience to your word, in remembrance of your bloodshed, to provide redemption's price and righteousness for me. By your blood, Jesus, I have been redeemed. By your blood, Jesus, I have reconciliation with God, my Father. By your blood, Jesus, every sin has been placed in remission in my life. I am a new creation, recreated in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, and now all things are made new. By the blood of Jesus, I come boldly to the throne room of grace, where I find mercy, grace, and help for my assignment, my dominion mandate on this earth. By your blood, Jesus, and by the word of my testimony, the accuser of the brethren is cast down forever. And there is no more condemnation in my life. By your blood, Jesus, every plague must pass over and cannot be me or my family. By your blood, Jesus, my conscience is purged. My robes are made white. I will always be the glorious church, without spot, wrinkle, or any other blemish, when you come for me.
I receive the fruit
of the vine now, in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Let's receive it together. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus.
Thank you, Jesus,
for your blood. Let's sing it together. What can pay my sin? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. What can make me whole again? Nothing but the blood of Jesus. Oh, precious is the flow that makes me white as snow. No other can I know. Nothing but the blood of Jesus.
Amen.
Amen and amen and amen. Let's read tonight the verses out of Jude. Jude, verse 20. Good night, Rebecca. God bless you. I see Sister Phyllis. Yeah. He's not there.
You want me to read or read?
Sure. Sure. I have something very special I would like to share with you, and I don't have permission yet. So pray that I get permission.
All
right. That's all I can say. And you won't hear anything about it again unless I have permission. Then I'm going to say I got something special to share with you.
Jude 20. But you, beloved, building yourselves up on your most holy faith in him.
Yeah.
Praying in the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
Keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. And on some have compassion, making a distinction.
Amen.
But others save with fear, pulling them out of the fire, hating even the garment defiled by the flesh. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and forever. Amen.
Amen. Amen and amen. Psalm 139:13. And we're going down through 18. For you formed my inward parts. You covered me in my mother's womb. Huh. I will praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Marvelous are your works, and that my soul knows very well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in secret and skillfully wrought in the lowest parts of the earth, meaning in your mother's womb. Your eyes saw my substance being yet unformed, and in your book they are all written. The days fashioned for me, when as yet there was none of them. Why? Because God calls things that are not as though they are. Never saw it about those verses before. How precious also are your thoughts of me, O God. How great is the sum of them. If I should count them, they would be more in number than the sand of the seashore. When I awake, I am still with you. And now, we'll go to the book of Brother Job, 33. 14 through 18. For God is speaking in one way and another. And yet, you, man, may not perceive it. In a dream, in a vision of the night, when deep sleep falls upon you, while you are slumbering on your bed, then he, God, opens the ears of men and seals their instruction inside of them. In order to turn man from his deed, conceal pride from him, keeps back his soul from the pit and his life from perishing by the sword. Verse 25, his flesh shall be young like a child. He shall return to the days of his youth. He shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his faith with joy, for he restores to man his righteousness. Restore to us joy of our salvation. Put your hands, say it with me, I receive the hundredfold return. That is designed in heaven for me.
That is designed in heaven for me.
Because I gave myself willingly.
Because I gave myself willingly.
To see this program come to pass tonight.
To see this program come to pass tonight.
In Jesus' mighty name.
In Jesus' mighty name.
Pour out that hundredfold.
Pour out that hundredfold.
Into my hand. So I can go preach the gospel.
So I can go preach.
In Jesus' mighty name. Till we see you again, this is what we have to say. Remember this. We love you. And God loves you. And Jesus is Lord.